My dear brother priests and deacons, fellow religious, dear sisters and brothers, brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, I don't think the Holy Father understands the significance of Super Bowl Sunday in the life of the people of the United States. Otherwise, he probably would have declared that this day honoring religious life would be on a different Sunday. The fact that our cathedral isn't populated very much is no commentary about the devotion of the people in Philadelphia to our religious. It's just that there are priorities, you know, and it seems like Super Bowl Sunday is one of the days that this Mass is not very populated. But we're delighted that all of you are here, and in a very special way, I'm very happy to welcome the postulants, novices, and consecrated religious who are present today, because the church on this day of the presentation of Jesus in the temple invites all of us in the church to reflect on religious life. So that's going to be the direction of my homily this evening. The Holy Father says that there's three reasons why we celebrate this day of honoring consecration. The first is to thank God for the gift of religious life in the church. And we do that. You know, those of us who are older were surrounded by religious life in extraordinary ways. In the Diocese of Philadelphia, at one time we had 4,000 sisters teaching in our Catholic school system. And just a small example. The sisters, there were so many good and important things, as do the brothers who teach in our schools and who care for the sick. And of course, we have many religious order priests serving here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. So education, health care, social work, spiritual direction are all important ministries that we give thanks to God for today. But mostly, more importantly, we give thanks to God for the example of religious life, because in some sense that's the purpose of all consecrated life, to be a shining example in the heart of the church of the reality of God. You know, back in the good old days when I was a young man, if you showed any signs of spiritual fervor, the sisters would tell you you should be a priest, because there was some kind of connection between loving God and becoming a religious. Now we, of course, know that you shouldn't become a religious unless you love God. But that's not really the purpose of religious life, because all of us, because of our baptism, are equally called to love God. So the rest of you who are not religious do not have any excuse, you know. All of us equally are called to love God with intensity. The difference about religious life would be somewhere in the following thoughts. You know, an example I use frequently when I talk to young men who are thinking about being priests is that what makes a priest, and I think this is true about religious, distinct from the laity in the church, is not our love for God, but our love for the church. All of us, because of baptism, are called to love the church as our mother. I love the church as my mother. All of us here love the church as our mother, because the church gives us life and nourishes us like our mothers do in our biological lives. But those of us who are called to be religious and clergy love the church not only as our mother, but also as our spouse. And the way you love your spouse is very different from the way you love your mother. You know, your spouse is where you hang out for the rest of your life. It's with your spouse that you have children. I mean, it's a day-to-day existence in your family. That's what married love is all about. And those of us who are called to be religious and called to be priests precisely do that. We make the church our first family. And we make the service of the church, not the service of God, because again, all of us are called to do that, but we make the service of the church our primary calling in terms of service. So that's what makes the sisters different from the laity. It's the focus on the church. And that's been a great gift to the church, and for that, we're very, very grateful. A second reason why we celebrate this day of prayer for religious life is to help the laity think about religious vocations. You know, we have a number of young people here today, and so the church would want you to think about the possibility of becoming a religious. I was probably 4 or 5 years old when I decided I wanted to be a priest. I was 13 years old when I decided I wanted to be a religious. Now, God gives a call to people at different stages in their lives, but I don't think it can ever start too early or start too late, because God works on God's time. And so I hope all of us here, you know, promote religious vocations. Not just the vocation directors of the religious communities, but each one of us in our families is called to promote religious vocations, to invite your children and your grandchildren to think about the possibility of being religious. And unfortunately, it is a diminished vocation in our time. You know, I mentioned earlier that back in the late 60s, early 70s, we had 4,000 sisters teaching in a Catholic school system that served 265,000 students. Today, we probably have 65,000 kids in our Catholic schools, and I'm sure they're served by less than 400 sisters, at least in full-time work. And the reason for that is that there just aren't as many vocations to religious life among women as there were in the past. And the same thing's true about religious life among males. I'm a Capuchin Franciscan. Some of our Capuchin postulants are here in the second row. We're glad to see you, brothers. It looks like there are 5 of them here today. When I was equivalently at your stage in formation, there were 14 of us. They're much better vocations today than they were then, but at the same time, there's fewer, you know. And I'm convinced that religious life, people choosing to become religious, whether male or female, are a sign of the health of a church. You know, if a church is a community of deep faith, and the church is a community in which we find God, and in which we see the sparkle of faith in the service of the poor and others, it's communities like that that give birth to religious vocations. So the diminishment of religious vocations is not a sign of the reemergence of the laity as a force in the church, although that has happened and we're grateful to God for that. But I think it's because of the diminished faith in our community. And the way we increase vocations is of course, become women and men of faith. And the third reason for the celebration of the Day of Prayer for Consecrated Life is to encourage those of you who are religious, those of you who are becoming religious, to renew your commitment to religious life. You know, just like a marriage can get stale, religious commitment, consecrated commitment, and religious life can get stale. And each one of us needs the urge of good example and the prayers of others and the encouragement of the church to be deeply committed in a very real way to the vocation to which God calls us. So this isn't just about you, you know, it's not just about the church wanting you to be noticed by the rest of the faithful today. It's about you recommitting yourself to be better religious in the service of Christ and His church. Let's look at today's gospel reading. Why did why did Pope John Paul II decide to celebrate this day on the Feast of the Presentation of Jesus? Well, I think there are probably several reasons for that, but I think the one that comes first to mind is the fact that just as Mary and Joseph presented Jesus to God the Father in the temple, religious life can be seen as a unique moment in the life of the church when some of its members, present themselves to the Lord for the service of the temple. And religious life is a lifelong act of representing ourselves to the Lord in the temple of the church time and time again. So I think that's one of the reasons for this celebration to take place on this day. But another, and perhaps symbolic, reason is the fact that today is known as Candlemas Day. It's a day on which we bless the candles in the church. And historically, that was probably done because this time of year it was dark and cold, and when they didn't have electricity and those kind of conveniences we're used to, it was important to have candles burning brightly, and the candles would burn out, and so they had to be re-blessed in the middle of winter. And the middle of winter is the time when it's the darkest, and it's a time when we most want light. And the burning candles were a symbol of the coming spring, but also the light of Christ burning in the heart of the church. Pope Paul VI, some years back, most of you here don't remember him probably, said something very beautiful on this occasion of Candlemas Day. This is what he said. Christ himself says, "I am the light of the world." And we are the light. We ourselves, if we receive it from him. But how do we receive it? How do we make it shine? By burning and being consumed in the burning, pouring forth its gift of light, the candle exhausts itself. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, the way any of us become the light of Christ in the world today, but in a very real sense as we celebrate this day honoring religious life, the way you religious are the light of Christ to the rest of us in the church depends on your willingness to be consumed by the love of Christ. You know, that is the fuel that gives light to the world. And if Christ burns in your heart like a flame burns on a candle, your lives will be consumed in the service of God and his holy people. So we pray for that reality. We ask you to be examples to us. We thank God for the gift of your vocations. And we ask God with all our heart to give many vocations to religious life in the church, especially from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And we ask that if that happens, the church might be rekindled, that all of us, all of our lives, might be brightly burning candles in the darkness of the world today. May God bring to completion the good work he's begun in each one of you today.